Morning, everybody. Get set up here and we'll get going. So, you know, I keep praying about what I'm supposed to do and what I'm supposed to preach on, and I just keep going down this road of vision, but specifically down the road of who is the God we serve, right? It's hard to have vision, to walk in vision when you don't know the God you serve. It's difficult. If you have a poor perspective, if you have a poor understanding, you're not going to walk in the vision that God has for your life. And like I said in the first time I spoke about this, each and every one of us has something. Each and every one of us has something that God has prepared for us. Now, it's up to us whether or not we walk in it. You know, I shut that down in my life for a very long time. But thankfully, he's faithful. He's just. He's loving. He's full of mercy and grace. And that's also what we've been talking about, is the mercy and grace of God. And if you want to hear any of this stuff, you can go to rvfmlighthouse.org. And find any of the old sermons, and I would encourage you, keep listening to this stuff. Build yourself up with this stuff, because it's so important right now that we know who our God is, because as Pastor Jonah talked about last week, there could be some suffering, there could be some persecution, could be. But I truly believe that when we know who our God is, we know what he's capable of, we know what he's given us, we can walk through that much easier than without him. Anything with God is better than without him, right? So today we're just going to keep on going down that vein of who God is and what he has provided for us. And we're going to go, this should be fairly fundamental, but I think a lot of us, including myself, miss it because I just don't think about it all that often. All right, so we're going to be in Romans 6. We're going to start there. I think I can get through 12 verses. I'm going to try. 12 is about my max, and I've maxed myself out here, so let's see what happens. So Romans 5, Paul is talking about, you know, how Christ overcame the law, right? He fulfilled the law. So now we walk in a new covenant of grace and mercy. We're not bound by the law. We have a different covenant, and he's going through it. So that's kind of what leads up to this statement in Romans 6:1. It says, well, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, right? We don't take grace as an avenue to sin. Right. Well, I have grace, so I'm going to do whatever I want, and after I'm done doing whatever I want, I'm just going to... That's not what true grace is. True grace leads us out of sin, not into it. That's what true grace is. Do we rise above because of grace, or are we just trying to justify our life with grace? And I've heard a lot of that with all the different things that are going around and different sects of Christianity, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's homosexuality or whatever, and it doesn't even have to be something like that. I can justify my sins by misconstruing the word. I can do that. So, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And that is such a big statement. How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, I want to make it clear this is not specifically talking about water baptism. Water baptism is the outward expression of this, I believe, but it was faith. It was faith in salvation that buried the old man and raised him back up with Christ. This is the effects of salvation. When we accept Christ, when we put faith in the Word of God that says, I believe, our old man dies, and we're raised into a new life with him because of what he did on that cross. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also should we walk in this newness of life. Should. You're going to hear this one other time, so don't forget that word. So also we should walk in newness of life. This is a baptism of our spirit. Our spirit is made new. Our spirit is made new when we accept him. Death no longer has a hold. Sin no longer has a hold because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And when we choose him, when we believe in him, it doesn't have to have a hold on us either. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, I'm going to go quick through some of these, but 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body. What body? The body of Christ. We are all a part of one body when we choose him. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink of one Spirit. So there's a unity here. We choose salvation. We choose Christ. We're baptized into this body. We're baptized into unity with him. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into this body. It's amazing. But do we believe it? It always comes down to, do we believe it? Because salvation is a resurrection of our spirit into everything that was done for us on the cross. I can't experience what was done for me on the cross unless I choose Christ. I can hear about it. People can tell me about it. I can read about it. But unless I choose Christ, I can't walk in it. I can't grow in relationship. I can't grow in the promises and the truths of the Word. Because we're not one yet. Verse 5. For if we have been united, big word there, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So if we died with him, we were raised with him. If our old man died with him, our new man was raised with him. And we have all those promises that come with it. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We should no longer. That word should denotes an action. I should exercise more. I should eat better. Doesn't mean I'm going to, but I should. A lot of people think I should cut my hair. Doesn't mean I'm going to, but they think I should. Right? Should. So this isn't a given, right? This isn't a given that we should no longer. We have the choice. I have the choice to walk with Christ, build relationship, and not let sin rule my life. Now, this is not an exemption from sin. This is not an exemption from sin. He freed us from sin. What are we doing with it? Right? What am I doing with this promise that I've been my old man, my spirit, was buried and raised with him. It's new. I have a new life. The old man is gone. Behold, all things have become new. Do I believe that in my life? Because when I do, the promises and the truth of the word will guide us out of sin and into power and authority, and that's what we need to understand in this. His resurrection, his death, his resurrection gave us power and authority over sin. That's what it did. Think about it. Do we utilize that power and authority, or do I just crumble underneath it? What if, I mean, maybe you didn't know this was available. Now you do. Like, this is what was given at the cross. So, we can look at Jesus. You know, Jesus was tempted with sin. As soon as he received the Spirit, out into the wilderness he goes and he's tempted. I mean, he's face to face with the devil. And he's tempted. And what does he do? Does he crumble? Oh my God, what do I do? I don't know what to do right now, Lord. Lord, what do I do? Does he panic? No, he goes to the Word. It is written. It is written. He knew the Word. And lo and behold, he used Old Testament word. Old Testament word still has power. It's amazing. He could have said anything else. He could have made a new doctrine right at that second, but he spoke the Word. And eventually he just tells Satan to get out of here. Right? Power and authority. We've been baptized into that power and authority, but do we believe it? So, got a hot button word here. Identity. Identify. Who do we identify with? Or what do we identify as? Look at the world right now. I identify as a man, even though I'm not a man. Right? As a Christian, this shouldn't be a difficult thing for us. I identify as the child of God. I identify as being saved, redeemed, forgiven. I identify with the Word that says he made them male and female. That's how he made them. I don't have to struggle with that. Now, I could choose to struggle with that, but I don't have to because the Word tells me how to live my life. I mean, just sit and ponder what these people are going through. It's very sad. It's not to be mocked. Because they don't have Christ. You don't think Christ is looking down on them with compassion, yearning for them to know the truth about how much he loves them, what he can truly do for them in their lives? I know it's easy to make fun of because, you know, it's just common sense. I don't have to dig real hard to find out if you're a male or a female. I mean, it used to be science, but it's not science anymore. It's just how we feel. So, I understand, I mean, to an extent I understand because they have no hope, right? They don't have the hope of the Word. They don't have the hope of Christ in them. But as Christians, we do. So why is there so much confusion about who we are? Why is there so much confusion about what Christ has done for us? Is it confusion or just unbelief? I don't know. And this is not condemnation. This is the challenge. This is the challenge. We're not supposed to be like the world. The world should look at us and go, man, look at the confidence they have. In simply who they are. And nowadays, you don't have to wow them with, I mean, A miracle nowadays is that I can stand up here and say I'm a man. Without any hesitation, without any doubt, I can stand up here and say that. In some circles, that's a miracle. Now, should it be? No. Is it ridiculous? Yes. But these people need Christ. No different than I needed him. And I had him. I've always had him. I've had him from a time I was a little child, and I still messed it all up. But how much more those who have never heard? I mean, the torment that must be going inside these people must be terrible. I've experienced torment in my own way as far as depression, but you can't tell me these people aren't depressed. Go down the list of terrible things, and I guarantee they're feeling it. Because that's what got them to this place, because they couldn't find truth. They didn't hear truth. They were just told, be what you want to be, do what you want to do, and look where it got them. Our identity is found in Christ. So, back to the point, who are we identifying with? Are we identifying with that old man? Or are we identifying with our new life in Christ? And with it came power and authority over sin. Do we identify with our spirit, what our spirit says about us? Or do we go solely off of our flesh, which usually gets us in a lot of trouble? Our senses, right? Touch, taste, feel, seeing. Man, don't walk down that road. You're going to lose. We need to be identifying with this new spirit, with this empowered spirit that was placed in us because of salvation. And we should also be spirit-filled with the Holy Spirit so we can walk further in this power, so we can demonstrate this power. In our own abilities and in our own understanding, we fall short. Like, you may get through this life with your own understanding and with your own abilities, but where is it getting you in eternity? Like, there's a lot of people that don't know Christ that are going to be successful in this life. I mean, we can see it. Wealth, fame, whatever. But where is it going to get them in eternity? Because it's not just about now. Now, we can experience his life, his will, his vision for us in this life if we choose. Or we can just get by. It's our choice. But it's not always just about now. And far too often we make it about now, and we miss out on growth. We miss out on helping others because we're just so focused on ourselves and what I need to do and what I need to get. Proverbs 23:7 says, and we've all heard it, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. When you really focus on who you are, what's the picture you see? Do you see a failure? Because that's not biblical. All right? Do you see yourself as powerless? Because that's not biblical. We have to get past who we think we are and into who he sees us as. I am not who I used to be. I was never meant to be that person. I was never meant to be depressed, anxiety-ridden, totally clueless and lost. I was never meant to be that person. I chose to be that person. Through various steps and phases in my life, I chose to be that person. I didn't have to be that person. But thank God he brought me out of that and started me down the path of who I truly am supposed to be. And he can do that for anybody. It doesn't matter. But do we believe that we've been freed from sin? Do we believe it? Or do I believe that I'm just always going to be captive to it? Free or slave, what are you? What are you? Because we need to be actively, just like I should read the Bible more. I should do a lot of things. I could stand up here for the next 45 minutes and tell you all the things I should do. I really could. The list is long. But am I just going to meditate on what I should do, or am I going to act on what I know is available to me? I know from reading the Word that this power and authority is available to me to rise above sin. Does it mean I'm not going to be tempted? No. Does it mean I'm not going to ever fall? No. But I don't have to be enslaved by it. I don't have to be entrapped by it. I can rise back up and move on from it. But I have to understand that that's who I am and that's what's happened at the cross. Because if I don't give it the time of day, I'm going to fail. If we don't meditate on what the Word says about who we are, we're going to fail. It's so important right now to know who you are. We have to know who we are as the church. We have to know where we stand. We have to. We cannot waver. That's what the world does. The world wavers. Be what you want to be, do what you want to do, it doesn't matter. That's not the truth of the Word. That's not who we are. The battleground is in the mind. Just like these trans, whatever it is, the battleground is up here because I can look at you physically and tell. I don't care if you think you're a cat. I don't care if you put little ears on. I don't care if you put a leash around your neck. You're not a cat. I can see that. Like with my own eyes, I can see that. But I can't see what's going on inside of you. I can't see what's going on. I mean, your body is expressing it. But the battle is up in our mind. Are we renewing our minds to the Word? Are we renewing our minds to truth? Or are we just going and digging a hole and digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and just burying ourselves in whatever we want to be? Like I said, we need to have compassion for these people because their state of mind is not good. There's a reason suicide rates are through the roof in these communities. There's a reason for it because it's not who they are. It may be who someone else told them they were, but it's not truly who they are in their heart. And we as a body are failing them if we just turn our cheek and don't speak up for truth. I don't care what it labels me, because I'm sure if anybody hears this sermon, I'll get kicked off YouTube or whatever. Whatever, it doesn't matter anymore. It never should matter. What matters is the truth of the Word. What matters is these people need Jesus so they know who they are. So they can stop searching. So they can stop beating themselves up. So they can stop mutilating their bodies. Because of this is who they think they are. It's disgusting. what adults are doing to children. It's terrible. It's barbaric. Literally barbaric. We're such an advanced society and we're willing to do this to our children who have no say and who have no idea what's actually happening to their bodies. We will do this to them. I mean, we'll kill children, so I guess it doesn't really matter. We'll kill them. Why not mutilate them? I don't mean this to be so heavy, but we have to. I mean, this is just reality right now. This is the world we live in. And we have to have compassion for these people. We cannot turn a cheek. We cannot say you're just too far gone. We cannot say that. That cannot be our heart. I didn't necessarily intend to go on this road, but here we are. But in Romans 12, 2, just a few chapters over, Romans 12, 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world. We're not supposed to look like the world. If they can't tell who we are, we're doing it wrong. None of my friends knew I was a Christian, so how was I supposed to influence their lives? I mean, I sat around a whole table of them for years. Years, and none of them knew I was a Christian. Talked to these guys every day for 6 years. I worked there, 6 years. I talked to the same group of guys for 6 years, and it took until 4.5 years for them to find out I went to church. Ouch is right. Yep. But, thank God, I didn't crumble like I used to. I took the challenge. Okay, well, you don't know that this is who I am. Well, you're going to start seeing that this is who I am. You know, I could have went back down that road of depression and anxiety and stress, but thank God for growth. And it's gotten me to where I am today. But if nobody sees a difference, what kind of influence can we have? If I'm just as depressed and ticked off at everything, what's there to talk about? Right? Trust me, I was there. I know all about it. But I didn't know these truths. I didn't know the power and authority that I had. I didn't know that God he had something for me. If I chose him, man, it's amazing what he's doing in my life and going to continue to do in my life. I have no doubt that there's more and better things to come. Because that's who I am. And that's what he wants to do for me. And that's what he wants to do for you. And that's who he wants to do for all these people who are trapped in their minds and have no idea who they are. He wants to do it for all of them. For all of us. Christ died for all. But just like this truth, that I have power and authority over sin, if I don't know it, if I don't apply it to my life, it's power. I put a cap on it. It's powerless. Back to Romans 6, verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you were freed from sin. Freed. So, I guess my illustration is, I've been in prison for 50 years. This is all I know is prison. These bars, walls, this is all I know. And one day somebody comes up and says, you're free. Opens the door, walks away. What do I do? Do I believe him? Because I can go down the road of, I guarantee I walk out this door and somebody's going to jump on me, beat the living out of me, throw me back in here, persecute me for the next however many years because I tried to escape. You know, you just create these scenarios. I'm not stepping out there. I'm not going out there. I don't care if they said I'm free. I know there's something else to this. Or, okay, and I walk out, and I keep walking, and I keep walking. I walk past the guards. I walk out the front gate, and I keep walking. So you either keep yourself in the cell or you free yourself. He freed you. I mean, even the Emancipation Proclamation, right? 1863, it took years for every slave to know that they were freed. Through deception, through ignorance, right? Through, I just don't know if I can believe that. And I'm sure the slave owners were like, oh yeah, you don't want to believe that, right? There's all these forces working against us that want to keep us bound and enslaved. You think our enemy wants to know that you have power and authority over him? Do you think he wants you to know that you're free? It's the old, I should utilize this power and authority a little more, but not today. I should believe what the word says because that's what I've based my life on, but I just don't know if I can believe that. Like, you're telling me I don't have to sin? Nah. Now, will we ever not sin? It's up for debate. But I do believe we can put it further and further and further and further behind us. Because I know the things I used to deal with, I don't deal with now. There are some things that still want to hang on, that I'm still dealing with, that I'm still trying to renew my mind to. But I can point out a lot of things that don't have a hold on me anymore. So there was power and victory there, and I believe there's going to be power and victory over the rest of it. We can just walk in so much more, and there is so much more, but do we believe it? Or do I just go grab the cage, shut the door on myself, and just sit back down? Because I just don't believe it. Just don't believe I'm free. Well, unbelief, man, it'll kill you. It'll leave you powerless. I mean, does Christ still love you? Oh, yeah. Yes. And he's always waiting. And I guarantee the Holy Spirit is encouraging. It doesn't have to be this way. But who are we listening to? What are we taking to heart? Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. So if it doesn't have dominion over him, and we were raised with him, does it have dominion over us? Only if we choose, right? Because let's get to verse 10 here. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So verse 11 is the key here. Likewise, you also reckon. Reckon, the word reckon in its simplest form is believe. It's believe. It's to believe in something true. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have to see yourself dead to sin. You have to believe that what happened on the cross and that what happened in that declaration that I believe in you, Lord. I believe you died for me. I believe you paid for my sins. I believe you're the Lord of Lords. And I believe I am saved. It's faith. It's belief. Faith is belief. They go hand in hand. Do we truly believe that this is true? The Word of God is truth. I don't understand it all, but it doesn't mean it's not truth. Truth is truth whether I believe it or not. I don't get to make my own truths. The Word of God tells me what truth is, and it hasn't failed me yet. I've failed myself over and over and over and over and over again. But it's amazing, even like principles I don't understand, I say, Lord, I don't get it. I just don't get it yet. But even when I don't get it and I just continue to walk it out, he works. He works. Because are we ever going to understand it all? Not in this life. But it doesn't mean I stop striving to understand it. It doesn't mean I humble myself and ask for help every now and again. Man, I've had to ask for help so much in the last 6-7 years. I hate asking for help. That's why I got into the positions I got in. But, man, did I dislike asking for help. I got this. I'll figure it out on my own. Boy, did I. Humility, when it comes to the Word, just will open doors in the Word that we never thought possible. Humility, when bringing yourself to someone and saying, I need help. It was a very hard thing for me to do, but man, the freedom that came from it. And the freedom that comes from knowing that I'm not a slave to sin. Now, I can choose to let sin enslave me. I can make that choice, but it's not who I am. It's not what's available to me. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign. Don't give it authority in your life. You have the authority because the authority was given to you on the cross. Now, does it mean we don't ever have to fight? Nope. I fight a lot because I don't want that old stuff to creep back in. I fight a lot because there's certain things, man, that just... Some things die a lot harder than others. But I'm not going to stop fighting. I'm not going to let it overtake me because I know what happens when it does. I can just look at my life. I can look at my past, and I know what happens when I give in. Fight. Fight. Stand on the Word. Stand on the promises that are given. I don't care if you only know one. Stand on it. Stand on it. Declare it. This is not who I am. I am not a depressed person. Because I can rejoice always. No matter what circumstance, I can rejoice in the Lord. I can give him praise. I can thank him for what he's done in my life. I am not a depressed person. And I won't ever accept it again. But now, I do need to fight it. Because depression had a hold on me at one time. It knows how to get me. Man, it knows the circumstances to present itself. Where I used to just crumble. Just, man. And it's amazing how those circumstances just keep coming. But I know who I am in that area. Now, I'm growing in other areas, but I know who I am when it comes to that. I know God loves me. I don't have to question that anymore. He's not out to get me. He has every good and perfect thing for me. Like, that's just who my God is, and that's how much he loves me. So I like how Paul puts it in Galatians, and I think this can be a guide to for all of this, for everything I just spoke about. Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. All right? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ in us that takes us to that next level, per se. It's Christ in us. It's nothing that I was able to do. It's not performance. It's simply faith. That, you know what, I believe your word, and I'm going to let it work in me. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be athletic enough. You know, there's days I want to identify as a whale and just lay around and do nothing. And but that is not who I am. We have to know who we are. We have to know what the word says, so when we have the opportunities for conversations with people, we don't have to convince them. All we have to do is present the truth, and then the Holy Spirit does his thing. The Holy Spirit can minister a lot better than we can. It's not our job to convince people, it's our job to present the truth of the word. Now, do I want them to be convinced? Yes. Have I convinced everybody I've talked to? No. But I know I've planted seeds. I know how much the Holy Spirit loves them. So who am I to not? We have to know who we are. It's essential. It's essential to be effective. Doubt and confusion just, man, wipes any progress out. That's not who we are, though. I mean, I don't care if you have to say it all day long, because there was times where I did. This is not who I am. This is not who I am. This is not who I am. And I'm not lying. I would do that all day long. Because this stuff would want to creep back, these thoughts would want to creep back, and this is not who I am. That is not who I am. I have been redeemed. That is not, I don't care what you have to do. It is not who you are. You are a child of God with power and authority. That's who you are. That's who you are. We just need to claim our freedom and take that step. That's what we need to do. Last verse. James 4:7. Everybody knows these verses. Apply them. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Authority. That's authority. No. You don't get to do that in my life. No, you don't have that power over me. Fill in the blank for whatever you're dealing with. No. No. I have the power and authority because of Jesus Christ. Right? Amen? Amen. Amen. That's all I got. All right. So I just, you know, as you go through this week, encourage yourself about who you are. Encourage yourself about who you are. Encourage each other about who we are. Amen. All right. Dear my Father, I just thank you so much for your word. And I thank you that your word is truth, Lord. And I thank you that you've given us the ability to help others. And Lord, I thank you for opportunities to reach and to share your goodness and your love with others. No matter what we're doing or where we're going, Father, I just thank you. We don't always have to know what to say, but Holy Spirit, you're faithful and you will lead and you will guide. And I just pray for safety over this congregation as we go through this week, Lord. And I thank you for what was planted here today. And I pray that it takes root right now in Jesus' name. We don't have to struggle with who we are. Because you are good. You are great. You are glorious. You have given us all power and authority. And I just thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.